happy to be in church? Put your hands together for the Lord. I have this story many years ago of an eagle which laid its egg on the ground, and due to an emergency, the eagle flew away, and so it became the lot of a mother hen to hatch that egg together with her own chicken eggs. And so the eaglet grew up in the midst of chickens for several weeks, thought it was a chicken, looked like other chickens, fed with other chickens, flocked with other chickens. After a long while, the mother eagle came looking for her baby, saw her, could identify her in the midst of a dozen chickens, and so was signaling from the top, "Come up." The little eaglet was wondering, "Who are you?" "I am your mother. Come up." He said, "No, I've never come up. All I do is to eat on the ground. All I do is to flock with chicken. I'm a chicken." The mother told her, "You are not a chicken. You may be with the chickens. You are not a chicken. Come up." One day, the eaglet developed enough faith, recognizing that mother eagle as her mother, and just said, "Let me try." And then exerted herself, saw that she could fly, and ran away from the chickens. This morning, I want to speak on the topic, and by the grace of God, for the rest of this month, that I've titled, "Come Up Here." Can you say that together? Let me tell your neighbor, "Come up here." You may not shake his or hands in this like this, but look at him or her, eyeball to eyeball, and say, "Neighbor, come up here." Let's turn into the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. I'll read just the first verse. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.'" This passage, many of us Bible students would know, and the entire the book of Revelation was an encounter John had while he was on exile on an island called Patmos. John, if you remember, was one of the 12 disciples, not John the Baptist. John the Baptist, or better still, John the Baptizer, had been killed. You remember? This John is the brother of James. Usually Peter, James, and John walk together with the Lord Jesus. So he was the one, the last survivor of the disciples. He had the privilege to live to good old age, and because of his radical belief in the Lord Jesus and the antagonism against the church, he was arrested and exiled into an island that nobody can get to him, and he cannot come unless they go there to fetch him. And so one day, on a Sunday like this, he was there alone on the island when he said he saw the heaven open and a voice from heaven saying, "Come up here, because I would like to show you things which must take place after this." In other words, God was telling him, "I want to deal with you." God was telling him, "I want to deal with you, but I can't deal with you at your level. You need to come up to my level. Come up here." And so this is a call to spiritual growth, climbing up a spiritual ladder. come up here is a call to come up higher. The example I illustrated at the beginning, the eagle and the chicken. To some extent, the eagle or the eaglet looks like a chicken. That particular eaglet was reared by a mother hen together with other chickens. But alas, although it was in the midst of chickens, it was not a chicken. Also concerning you, you may be in the world, you are not amongst the world. You may be where you are socially, academically, financially, in any respect, but that is not where you're supposed to be. God is calling you to come up here. When I had a revelation of this for the first time many, many years ago, early in my life as a Christian, I was reading the Authorized King James. And what he said was, come up either. Come up either. And I said, what do you mean? And so, my dear brothers and sisters, unless you and I choose to come up, we may not be able to fulfill our purpose. God does not want to come down to our level. He wants you to come up to his level. He needs you to grow up. It needs you to wise up. Say to your neighbor again, come up here. And there's a difference between chickens and eagles. Just like there are differences between unbelievers and believers. First of all, to be able to come up here, you must turn from being a chicken to an eagle. In other words, you must be born again. Everyone is born and they flock together. Unless you meet the Lord Jesus, you may not be able to come out of the flock. The starting point is to meet the mother eagle and to become an eaglet. Spiritually, a chicken can become an eaglet. Physically, it's not possible. And so you and I need to be born again. There are two categories of people on earth, those who are born again, those who are not born again. It's not male, female, it is not white, black, it is not rich, poor, it is not educated, uneducated. Two categories. Those who are born again, those who are not born again. These people have two different destinies. Those who are born again will reign with God in heaven. The Bible says those who are not born again are condemned already. So why do we need to be born again? Because that's the starting point. You want to come up here. We can round off the salvation message in four words, in an acronym of four words, G-I-D-S. Can we say that G-I-D-S? G is for guilt. Every man is guilty, even if you are born by a bishop. For all have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. So every human being born by another human being is guilty of sin. Are you a Nigerian or an American? Nigerian. How did you become a Nigerian? Is it because you were born in Nigeria? Is everybody that was born in Nigeria a Nigerian? Nigerian parents. You didn't choose to be a Nigerian, but because your parents were Nigerians, automatically you became a Nigerian. God bless you. Clap for him. So, because you are born by a sinner, you are a sinner. Whether you have never stepped on a cockroach, whether you have never slapped anybody, you are a sinner. So, every one of us is guilty of the inherited sin from Adam. I said G-I-D-S, I, inability. Although we are guilty, we are unable. We have the inability to save ourselves. Giving offering, helping the needy, giving people your food, your pocket money, doesn't make you born again. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, they are like filthy rags. D, although you're unable to save yourself, somebody died for you. Jesus died. So it's the death of Jesus as a substitution for your own death. Because it is written, every soul that sin must die. So because we inherited our sins, we must die. But Jesus came and died for our sins. S, there is salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we now believe and accept that the Lord Jesus has died for us, we confess him as our Savior and as our Lord, we become saved. We turn from a chicken to an eagle. So we can be positioned to come up here. Many people take salvation for granted. Perhaps many people say they are saved without understanding what it means. It entails being conviction, that you are a sinner, not because you sinned, but because you were born a sinner. It entails confessing your sin and asking Jesus to come into your life. It entails repentance. Repentance is from a Greek word that translated means like this. And if you look up, I will just illustrate. Repentance means round about turn. When you repent, you know you are going on a wrong trajectory and you make a roundabout turn. And so, no, there is nobody who can be born again without evidence of change in his or life. You say you are born again and your life has not changed. Your classmates, your family members, your neighbors, your friends have not observed a change. Very, very likely, you are not born again. You are still a chicken. And so, salvation is the beginning of that move to come up here. Why do you and I need to be saved? One, we need to be saved so that we can reign with Christ. It's very easy to get accustomed to this life, to this world, that we think all that it is, all that we have, is limited to this world. Many of us are young. Thank God for that. But the maximum, you will use 120 years. So one day, you and I also are going to be dead. It doesn't matter. We pray you will live long. With long life, the Lord will satisfy you and show you his salvation. And so, salvation prepares us for life after death. No wonder the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 from verse 1, he said, don't be troubled because I'm going, in my Father's house there are many mansions. He says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you so that where I am, you also can be. So we get born again, we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ so that when we die, after this life ends, we can reign with him in his Father's house in heaven. So first reason why we'll get born again is to prepare us for life after death. Of course, no, anybody that is not born again will go to hell, even if he was a pastor. Even if he didn't marry because of the gospel. Even if she was a nun. Whoever you are, you didn't accept the Lord Jesus. Your sins are not forgiven. You will go to hell. It is appointed for man once to die, and after that, there is judgment. And so, we get born again first so that we can reign with Christ in heaven. Secondly, so that we can fulfill our purpose here on earth. The second reason why we get born again is so that we can fulfill our purpose here on earth. The Bible says in John, that same John chapter 15 verse 4, John chapter 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, the purpose why I sent you to the earth cannot be completely fulfilled unless you have a relationship with me. Many think they just came to the earth, but God made you. He said to Isaiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I ordained you, in case of Isaiah, to be a prophet to the nations. So every one of us was known before our mothers conceived us. And before our mothers conceived us, God had a purpose for you to come and fulfill here on earth. You cannot really, really fulfill that purpose unless you are aligned to the Lord Jesus. Unless you are born again. And so not only for the life hereafter, to have a fulfilled, fruitful, productive, fulfilling life here on earth, you need to be born again. For some of us who have known the Lord, we know there is a difference from a rudderless, directionless life to a life of purpose, to a life of significance. The starting point is meeting the Lord Jesus. So my question this morning to you, are you born again? Without mincing words, it's your name in the book of life. Is your name in the book of life? Yeah. What's your answer? Are you just playing church? I played church for 28 years. Very active in the choir. I had no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank the Lord, one day I met the Lord. Everything changed. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Anybody I love, I want him to have what I have. I want him to be in the position I am. Child of God, forgiven, fulfilling purpose, rapture ready to reign with Christ in heaven. Are you in this category? If you are not, you have a chance this morning. Turn from being a chicken to an eaglet. Don't forget our topic is, come up here. Can we say to come up here? Salvation is a continuum. It's not just an experience. It's not just an event. It's a lifelong process that starts when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus. Does not end when you die. You just change your address to heaven. No wonder the Bible says in John chapter 17 verse 3. John 17 verse 3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life doesn't start in heaven. It starts now. And so when death comes, you just change address. You are relating with Jesus on this part of the divide. You get to heaven, you are going to reign with him and relate with him forever. But the big but is this. When you get born again, when you change from being a chicken to an eaglet, it's just the starting point. In the spiritual, there is no static position. It's either you are moving up or you are going down. And this call is for us to come up here. As many as have known the Lord Jesus, as many as have become born again, don't stay where you are. Don't be content with just the salvation experience. Come up here. Climb the spiritual ladder. Why? Because there are some things you will never be able to experience unless you come up. And we are going to go through a few of them as we prepare to round off this morning. Why should you come up here? Why are we talking about spiritual, climbing the spiritual ladder? Pastor, I thought you were going to tell us how to climb our academic ladder. I thought you were going to tell us how we climb our career ladder. I thought you were going to tell us how we climb the social ladder. I thought you were going to tell us how we climb the economic ladder, or how to climb the marital ladder. All these are good, but the starting point is the spiritual ladder. Why? Hello? Are you here this morning? The spiritual controls the physical. That is the truth. Many do not know this, even Christians. You just move about in life. You don't know that your fate here on earth has been determined in the spiritual realm. You remember Job? How many people remember Job? If you have read the book of Job from the beginning to the end before, can I see your hand up? Some people do not like to read. Somebody asked me, Pastor, is this story true? It cannot be true. Before all his travails started, there was a conference in heaven. His fate was sealed in heaven. And all that he saw thereafter were manifestations of the decisions in the heavenly places. In the same way, nothing happens in the physical that has not been sealed in the spiritual. So you and I need to take care of the spiritual, and physical will fall in place. Are we here this morning? Why should we come up here? I'd like to give a few reasons and then we'll close. Number one, why must we climb the spiritual ladder? Why must you and I come up here? Number one, spiritual prosperity leads to success. Our spiritual advancement leads to advancement in other areas of life. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, the third epistle of John has only one chapter. And the second verse says, Beloved, I wish and I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. God was saying to you, I want you to excel in your studies. I want you to be number one in your career. I want your joy to be full. Provided, there is a proviso, provided your spiritual life is prospering. Beloved, I wish and I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So first reason why you and I must be dissatisfied with staying with the chicken is that unless we do that, we will have the success of chickens. We will not be able to succeed and fulfill God's purpose. Number two, an immature Christian is not better than a servant. An immature child is not better than a servant. I take my text from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, 1, 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Is that in your Bible? A heir. The father had died, left inheritance for him. But the inheritance is being taken care of by some stewards or trustees or executors because he's still a child. Until he grows up, he will be under the control of the stewards. He will be a slave. The Bible says he's a slave, although he's a master of all. He's the owner. He's the master. But he's being treated as a servant, as a slave, because he's a baby. Tell your neighbor, grow up. Tell your neighbor, grow up. So that you won't remain a slave. So that you won't remain a servant. Neighbor, come up here. I will have asked you to give yourself a high five, but in these times, you can only give an elbow five. Number three. An immature child may not be able to access his inheritance. It is a follow-up to number two. How many people have children here? Just wave your hand. You have children. Just wave your hand. Okay? Put down your hands. You have children that are less than 3 years old above your head. Would you give your baby a bicycle? She's not old enough to ride a bicycle. You love her so much, but you can't, because it will hurt her. She's not matured enough to handle it. In the same way, unless you grow up and come up here, there are some things you cannot have access to. That is the truth. God loves you so much, he doesn't want you to destroy yourself with pride, with naivety, with wanton living. And so he will withhold some things. So unless you grow up, you may never have access to some things. Number four, an immature child may be robbed of his inheritance. You may access it and the enemy will take it away. I will illustrate with this. A little boy, 4 years, was eating chicken and jollof rice in the sitting room. And the family dog was there watching. There were many people. Then after some time, the little boy sauntered out with a plate of chicken and jollof rice. And the dog looked and followed. Saw that the child was alone in the yard, went there and snatched the chicken. He could not do that sharp, sharp. Have you done that before? The dog could not do that in the presence of the parent. But the child went away from the presence of the parent. And so the enemy robbed him of what belonged to him. Unless you grow up, there are some things that God has given you that the enemy can take. Number five. Unless you grow up, an immature Christian may not be able to fulfill God's purpose. An immature Christian, like I said, God has a purpose for you, and so you get born again so you can fulfill your purpose on that. Unless you are born again, you may not be able to fulfill that purpose. And finally, an immature Christian may not be able to last the race. When challenges come, when vicissitudes come, you don't have enough spiritual backbone to say enough is enough to the evil one, because you are a baby Christian. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a call that you may be dissatisfied with staying with the chicken. God has purposed for you to come up here. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, come up here. Let's stand up to pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word this morning. The entrance of your word gives light. We ask that for all of us, we will not be satisfied staying with the chickens. Help us to realize who we are in you, eaglets and eagles. Lord, give us strength. Give us the desire. Give us the ability to soar higher, that we may be able to fulfill your purpose for our lives. Amen.